it's awesome having you guys with us. We're in the middle of a series called This Is Us, and we're just kind of looking at LifePoint, what made us LifePoint. My name is Quentin. Everybody calls me Q, and I get to share with you this morning. And I'm really excited because we're kind of looking at this, and it's leading to our February series. We're going to really kind of look at what's going to be coming down the pipe for us. So we're going to cast vision and kind of realize who we are and see where we're headed for the next few years. So, you know, just kind of see who we are, is who we've been, and then looking forward. And so it's going to be really good. I'm glad you guys are hanging out with us. And it's been really cool. Ben, Shoemate, I love Ben. Ben was the second guy, I guess a little over a year ago now, I started discipling. And he wasn't doing this spoken word stuff yet, and just pushing him toward things. We were actually in discipleship meeting this last week, and he asked me a question. He said, Quentin, why? I just want to know, why did you take a chance on me? That was his question to me. And it's easy to see this morning why I took a chance on this guy. I mean, he's incredible. He wrote that. It's his own talent. He just made the Huntsville team, or he's going to the finals to make the Huntsville travel team for spoken word poetry. Just a really awesome talent. He's great. And it's a great picture of when we can use what gifting and talents God's given us for His glory. And I think that that's, you know, really what I want to talk about. Because here's the thing. We did a series early on in LifePoint. It was either close to the end of year one or it was beginning of year two. We did this series called Masterpiece. And what we did in it is we actually found local artists and we got a bunch of their art and we hung it on the walls in here and we opened it up and made a free art gallery for folks that they could just come in anytime during the week and check out the art on the walls. And so it was just kind of a really cool concept. It was a really awesome series. It's just a lot of fun to do. And that's what we want to talk about, just looking back at that, thinking how cool that was, is this idea of masterpiece, and how there's a lot of masterpieces, and we have this definition of masterpiece, but what if we're God's masterpiece, and what's that look like? And to do that, I want to share something, and it's kind of a sad good thing right here, because I'm out of these things that I'm going to tell you about, which is sad, but it's good while I'm out of them. I actually have one, because my wife grabbed this when I said I need an example. Today's actually Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's being celebrated across the country. And we partner with an organization called Real Life Pregnancy Center. And what they do is if someone gets pregnant and doesn't really know if they want to keep the baby or have an abortion, they will meet with them, give them counseling, and try to help them understand there's other options out there. They try to help people who are perhaps low income and are dealing with pregnancy, of a young age dealing with pregnancy, maybe feel like they made a mistake and end up getting pregnant, helping them understand that there's more options than just abortion. And they help connect people with adoptions, and they'll do sonograms and just do all kinds of things to try to serve people who are pregnant. And so we partner with them, and what we do once a year is we take up these bottles and we give them out. We try to fill them up with some coins or whatever you want to fill them up with. I'm sure they'd be happy if you filled it up with $100 bills. So whatever you want to fill it up with, you can fill it up. We usually take one. Our daughters put their change in there, and we fill this up, and you bring it back in 3 or 4 weeks, and you give it to them, and they use this to help support and fund their ministry. So I had a basket full of these first gathering, and now I have one, which means if you want one, these will be in this basket next week, so you'll have to wait till then. Unless, does anybody really want one? Then I'm going to give this one to. Anybody want one? All right, there you go. Mondays, you got it. All right, y'all have that one. My wife can wait. She'll be all right. All right, so we're going to get in a series, this idea of masterpiece. And here's what I want to look at this. I want to look at what the scripture says. I want to look at this concept of masterpiece. But first, I want to kind of blow up this whole idea of masterpiece. Because when we think masterpiece, a lot of times we think that it's like some incredible work of art is the masterpiece, right? I always think Mona Lisa is this piece of art that's known as the masterpiece. Or the Sistine Chapel is this masterpiece. Or, you know, whatever is this idea of masterpiece. But I want to try to kind of let you understand that masterpiece really encompasses a greater span than just one work of art that the art community thinks is a masterpiece. In fact, I thought I would bring some of my personal things I own that I feel like are masterpieces in my home, and I'd share those with you this morning first. So, like, I'll share this. This right here is a painting that someone in our church did. Her name's Madison. She did this, and it was at the CR auction last year, and I purchased it. I think it's really good. I mean, it's really well done. She's a high school student, so I was like, man, this is really cool. A high school student painted this from our church. And the reason it's I love it so much. Is if you go into my office, this is hanging in my office, but it's not hanging at a place you can see it. Which you go, Quentin, that's weird. It's hanging, there's a little overhang in my office, and it hangs kind of up over the overhang. So if you come in, you can't see it. But if you're sitting in my seat, where I sit at my table, then you can look up and it's always there. And it reminds me of, in Oregon, we had these mountain lakes that were super just calm, beautiful, crystal clear water. It was just ice cold. And it was one of these places I used to go. I loved going up the mountain lakes and just hanging out and looking at these mountain lakes and just in being so blown away by God's creation. And when I saw this last year, I was like, man, that reminds me of those spots. And so what I do, and why this is a masterpiece to me, is I put this up there in my office. And if it's been a really busy day, or there's been quite a few counseling appointments, or maybe some people in our church are struggling or in the doctor and we're just praying, and it's just, you know, one of those days you're really kind of trying to struggle to get through it, I sit in my chair and I look up and I just think of those times of God's beauty. And see, I don't know, Madison had no idea she was going to be making that and it was going to have that effect on me. But for me, in my office, this is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece I get to enjoy. It has an effect on me. I love it. Something else I got. This right here is an X-Men comic book number one. All right? Now, some of you are laughing because you've never read X-Men number one. All right? Now, this is the 90s edition. All right? This is Chris Claremont authored this, an incredible comic book writer. And to me, this is a quite, honestly, masterpieceful work of art, all right? It's made even better by the fact that a good friend of mine, Matthew Riggins, who goes to church here, his wife sings some, Riggins serves in the kids' ministry, he got this for me at a comic convention and had it signed to Q Chris Claremont, all right? So the authors actually signed this amazing piece of art. This is like a masterpiece, all right? And I know this doesn't mean a lot for you guys, but for all you, anybody, any other geeks out there, all right, thanks for your hands. Thank you, guys. Let's be honest, all right? Any girl comic book geeks? Oh, thank you. That's awesome. I just like you guys so much more now than I used to. And I loved you already, but, I mean, cool points just really excelled, you know? And my wife didn't raise her hand. She thinks this moment is silly right now, honestly. But for all you comic book geeks, this is the number one, because they had different covers that went with, and it made this one big thing. This is the number one with Wolverine, Cyclops, and Iceman. I mean, to have Cyclops and Wolverine is a real masterpiece on this number one. This is the best one, all right? Just saying, all right? So, like, this is a masterpiece to me. And then probably one of my favorite masterpieces, like, I keep this on a shelf. I go treasure hunting a lot. Just, I like go to thrift stores, find weird stuff, neat stuff. I just love doing it, just finding unique stuff. I feel like I'm a very weird person, so I feel like if I can find other weird things and redeem them, then it, like, means something. Like, God's like, oh, there's still hope for you, Quentin. All right, hold on. So that's like how I feel about it. So if I find these weird things and redeem them, like, God's still got hopes for me. It just works out in my mind. But I have this little shelf that we brought from Oregon, and I keep it down in our, like, sunroom. And on that shelf, I just put things like, this comic book sits on there, and I recently found this little, like, old vintage camera that's like, well, it's not a real camera, but it's made like a camera, but it's this big. It was actually like a cigarette lighter. Like, it's there right now. Like, just weird things I find, like, at thrift stores and stuff. I just put it there. But this sits there always. Those things sometimes move around, and sometimes I'll sell one of them, or I'll give them as gifts to people, or whatnot. But this thing sits there. It's been there since the beginning, and always will be there. This is my daughter December's first picture she ever drew of me. And it's got a Q right there. And it's got this goatee and this spiky hair. And it's just, it's awesome. And I think for Father's Day, my wife framed it up and they gave it to me for Father's Day. And this is, to me, an incredible masterpiece. Now, to you, like, this doesn't mean much. And honestly, to me, this is the most precious, important thing up here. I love this. Like, I want this more than this painting. I want this more than that comic book. I want this more than anything up here. I want to make sure I have this. It never leaves that spot. And I see it every time I go down there. Because to me, it's a masterpiece. And see, I think we need to understand that masterpieces come in different sizes, different shapes, different formats. They're not just the big painting that everybody thinks is incredible. It's masterpieces are masterpieces because we see them as masterpieces. Now, here's the problem. And here's this morning, I need you to just for a couple minutes agree to be really, really, really honest with me. The problem, I think, sometimes is that when we look at our own lives, we don't see anything close to masterpieces. In fact, sometimes we see our lives as mundane, our routine. And routine just, it's like we do the same thing every day. I mean, some of us are in just incredible routine. Todd, one time, Todd Oldham is in such routine. It's incredible if you're around him. One time he backed out of his house, just like he did every day. He didn't look behind him and like ran over his parents' cars, all right? Just totally, you know why? Because it's the routine. You get in the car, you back out. But our life is, some of us are living this life where we just get up every day. We do the same thing. We kind of just power through. And I think we don't really realize that our lives are supposed to be masterpieces. I'm not even sure we believe that our life is supposed to be masterpieces. I believe we see some other people's lives and we go, oh, their lives are masterpieces. We see incredible things happening, or people, you know, doing some kind of incredible work, or they have a bunch of money and a huge house, and we go, man, those people's lives look like masterpieces. Or we see someone who's on some great trip, and they're like touring around the world, and maybe they've been doing humanitarian work, and we go, man, their lives are masterpieces. And we see all these things, and we look around, we look at our lives, and we go, but my life's just feels like scribbles on a sheet of paper. It's there. But it's not really pretty. And the problem is, when we look at what Scripture tells us, it's very clear that God explains to us that we are His masterpieces. Now, let me share this Scripture with you. This is Ephesians chapter 2, and this is verses 1 through 10. And the first 8 or 9 Scriptures of this, it's really the gospel presentation. I think it's important for us to hear, all right? Because it's part of what makes us the masterpiece. So let's hear this. It says, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Saying, so like, we used to just, let's be honest, like those of us who are believers, our lives got this place where we just pursued the things we wanted. It was about the things of this world, and it was about what our flesh wanted. Like we woke up in the morning, and some of us as believers, we still struggle against this, let's be honest, but we wake up in the morning and we go, how do I make enough money to make myself valuable? Or how do I do enough things that people see to make myself valuable? How do I acquire enough toys to make myself valuable? How do I, you know, date this person, or how do I sleep with this person to make myself valuable? What do I got to do? What do I got to accomplish to make myself valuable? And this is the Bible saying that we were all like that. We're all doing that. We're just trying to make our lives valuable on our own, do whatever we could every day, trying to do something to make ourselves more valuable. And some of us are still fighting that. Some of you maybe don't even know Jesus, and you're fighting that, trying anything you can do, anything you can to make your life valuable. It says in verse 4, "But God," I love that. I love when it says "but God," right? "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us." Get this? This love. He's like, "But God, because the love that he loved us," he steps in. He says, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Saying, look, even when we're chasing the stuff of ourselves, we're just trying to make ourselves valuable, God stepped in and loved us. And he saved us by grace. And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Saying, man, see, we were just chasing whatever, and God comes and shows us how much he loved. How did he do this? How did he show us this love? It's really, it's incredible. He showed us this love through his son Jesus. See, 2,000 years ago, he sent Jesus, and Jesus came, and Jesus lived perfectly like how people should live in this world. He lived his life like how we should live. He lived it in the most perfect, incredible way because he was God's son and he didn't sin. And he loved in ways that's unimaginable. He loved people who were unlovely. He saw that every person he came in contact with to him had worth and they were their own masterpiece because he's the one who created them. And so he would interact with them and he would love them and he would challenge them and he would invite them into meaning and purpose. It was incredible. And then, at 33 years old, he died for us. He gave his life for us. At 33 years old, he went to a cross and they crucified him. So that all the mistakes, all that time we were chasing our own desires, all that time we were trying to make life matter and we were just being greedy and selfish, all that time that we were trying to just pad a bank account or make ourselves look important or just feel something, all that time we were chasing the things of this world, when he died on the cross, his death, because he was perfect, paid the price for our mistakes. And God said, because of what Jesus did, we can now be forgiven. And we can now have eternal life in heaven with him. I mean, it's just this incredible salvation story, this grace that's given to us. And it's this thing working out that begins to make us and shape us into masterpieces. Verse 8 says, For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. This isn't like, we tried to chase things in our early life, right? We tried to chase after having meaning, make ourselves worth something. He says, this thing that you experience, this salvation, there's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift. It's grace. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Man, just an incredible thing. And here, let me say this morning, if you've not experienced salvation, if you've not believed in this story, God's desire is for you to believe and to be saved. God's desire is for you to understand this truth, to believe it in your heart, and to be his. Because he loves you. He did all of this, all this played out so that you might have the opportunity to know him, to believe in him, and to live eternally with him. Because salvation is the gospel. It's an amazing story that leads us to this verse 10 that talks about masterpiece. Check this out. I love this verse. One of my favorite verses. You should underline this in your Bible. You should just remember this. Because this is Paul talking to the church. You know, a lot of times we take on promises that aren't really said to us. But this is Paul talking to the church. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's incredible. For we are his workmanship. See, here's what this scripture is saying this morning. Me and you, we're God's masterpieces. As mundane as you think your life is, we're God's masterpieces. Some of you are sitting there and you think, you know what? I don't have what it takes to be a masterpiece for God. I'm way too introverted. I don't get along with people very well. I'm shy. I've got a funny laugh. You're just saying these things in your mind, and you go, you know what? God's never going to make me a masterpiece. I'm a broken vessel. Look, that's part of the beauty. That's part of the beauty of it. I mean, even look at our staff. Some of our staff's very introverted. I'm like extra, like, you know, Matt, like if Matt's kind of more introverted, I know you might not know that, Matt's kind of more introverted, so if like he just go home and hang out with his family, that's like the greatest time for him, you know? Like, I'm an extrovert, so, like, if I throw a party, like, I'm sending out 150 invites, you know? And my wife, who's introverted, is having, like, an anxiety attack at that moment, okay? Like, that's how I am. Like, I've never been around a crowd that was too big for me. I love it. Some of us are more shy. Some of us are more personal. We're all created different. You know, Nick has a funny laugh. If you haven't heard it, it's incredible. I couldn't believe it. When I started doing ministry with this guy, I didn't remember him until he laughed. And then I remember playing co-ed, like, or whatever like that, on college campus, playing, like, flag football against this team and hearing this guy with this weird laugh. And when I started doing ministry with him, I was like, that's that guy! But But what you understand is that if God's saying we're his masterpiece, those quirks and those things you don't really like or you don't understand why you have them, God made you that way. See, God needs people of all different types to minister to this world. And masterpieces look different. They're not all the same. They're not all the same colors, all the same shapes, all the same sizes. How you are, how you're made, and how you're created was so that God could show off his masterpiece. He could show off his artsmanship. He could show off how incredible of an artist he is through you. So we can't sit around just acting like we're just trapped in this mundane life. We have to realize that we are God's workmanship. We're his masterpiece. I love it. That word workmanship there is actually the Greek word poema. And we heard an amazing poem by Ben this morning. And that's what it's saying is, we are God's poem. We're his poem. And it's so different. It's so beautiful. It's so great. And what we need is we need these people in this church to quit believing the lies we've told ourselves forever. See, somebody somewhere down the road maybe said you weren't good enough, or you didn't have it all together, or you're not talented enough, or you're only good at manual labor, or you're not smart enough. And whenever they said that, what happened is in your brain, you start saying it to yourself over and over and over again. They may have only said it to you once or twice, but you've heard it thousands upon thousands of times. And what you need to realize is those were lies, and you are God's masterpiece. And he sent Christ to die for you so that you could live for him. He sent Jesus to do the most amazing work so that you could do the work for him. In fact, if you look at that, right after it says that we are God's workmanship, the next line says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. You were created the way you are for the good works. You were created how you, and your works don't save you. This isn't about salvation through these works. This is about what you were created to do. Some of you were made to, the way you are so that you could work that out for God. Some of you are going to do spoken word poetry like we heard. Some of you are going to do music like we've heard. Some of you are going to go talk to your neighbor one-on-one and just show them love. Some of you are going to have more compassion than others. Some of you are going to have more mercy. Some of you are going to have went through some kind of divorce and you're going to be able to help somebody else who's going through a similar situation. Some of you have dealt with incredible loss and you're going to be help those who have loss. Whatever your story is, it's this masterpiece that God has created so that you can use it for the work of the gospel. See, the story didn't stop. The process of the gospel continues, and you're made to be part of it. See, this morning you may be a really tranquil painting that's helping one person find some solace. That may be the masterpiece you are today. Or you might be some incredible story that many, many people read and are inspired by. Like this amazing X-Men comic book. Or, you may not be like, I don't know what I am of those. Well, I want to tell you at least what I know you are. Every one of you are this at least. See, I don't know. I read the Bible many times. And as weird as I know I am, sometimes I think, man, God's weird too. Because there's just things in the Bible you go, God, that's just weird, you know? And so sometimes I wonder if God has this shelf where he like puts weird things he really likes, you know? Like maybe he's got like a seahorse. I mean, isn't that weird, you know? Like a seahorse on there and just goes by and goes, that was awesome. I made that and that's incredible, you know? Yeah. Or maybe he has like a gallbladder, because no one knows what that does, you know? And he's like, this is a weird thing I created. Yeah. I don't know. But I wonder if in that same moment, if God would say the most prized possession, his masterpiece, would be pictures of us. That God would say, you don't understand. You're so down on yourself. You think you're not worthy. You think you're not good enough. Look, it's not about you. I saved you because I love you. And you're my masterpiece. And it's not because of what you do that you're my masterpiece. You're my masterpiece because I created you. And if you would just grab hold of that, you can begin to live the life that I made for you to live. It says that he planned these works out from the beginning. It says you can start living these works I created for you if you'll just understand you're my masterpiece. And we're so scared to say, you know what? Oh, yeah, I'm this masterpiece. God can use me. But when we don't say that, here's what we're not recognizing. The masterpiece, this thing, when I see this, I'm not in love. I'm not in love with this picture. You know what I'm in love with? My daughter December, who made it. And what we have to understand, it's not about you being prideful and saying, you know what, God made this way, I can be a ma-. When you say, I am God's masterpiece, you're telling the rest of the world, and God is an amazing artist. He is the master. And when you live your life and live your works out for the gospel as his masterpiece, it'll be like the scripture says. It says, we will do our good works before men so they may see them and glorify our Father who is in heaven. We work as these masterpieces. These scribbled line, torn up, battered masterpieces. But we are masterpieces nonetheless because the master made us. And he has a plan for us. This morning we're about to sing a song. I love this song. I want you to hear the words of this song. But I want to make an invitation to you. This morning, if you're struggling believing that you're God's masterpiece, if life has become really mundane or routine and you don't see God's purpose in your life, I just want you to know we're here to pray with you. Because until you really believe that, until you understand what Christ did on the cross because he loved you and he wanted you to know that love, he wanted you to experience that love so that God can gain glory from your life, until you know that, it's hard to realize you're a masterpiece. So this morning, if you need prayer, if you're struggling with that, we want to pray with you. And then if you're like, man, I understand that, then we're going to worship together. And here's what I want to understand. If we go out and live out our lives for the gospel, if we go out and live out our lives for the gospel, we'll impact this world. There are hundreds and thousands of people who are wanting to look at your life and see the purpose in it so it will influence theirs. Sometimes you're the mirror of what God looks like to the people around you. Let's live as the masterpieces he's created us. Let's pray. God.